I'm always amazed, and I guess I shouldn't be, but how God uses his word. Brother Dan and I haven't spoke about what we were going to share in God's word, and I appreciate the sermon, brother, Almighty God. And what we're going to look at just briefly this evening is basically along those same lines. The title of the message is In the Beloved, and let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. You know, in Scripture, we see a sovereign and almighty God in Scripture. It's not a God of our own making, but the sovereign God of the universe, the Creator, the great I Am. And it's so clear here in the book of Ephesians of the things that God has done on our behalf and what God will continue to do on our behalf. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul says he's an apostle by the will of God. What was Paul doing before God saved him? Was he looking for the Lord? Not hardly. He was out here, you know, persecuting Christians at every chance he got. You know, who held the clothes when Stephen was stoned? You know, Paul wasn't a very good guy, was he, before the Lord saved him? But look what the difference is now. You know, he's an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. You know, that's you and I. This message this afternoon is basically to the redeemed. But if you're lost here today and you don't know the person of Jesus Christ, I want you to look what you're missing out on. And we'll get to that in a little bit. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. You have peace of mind? Are you contented? You know, we see the world today, you see people that are millionaires, have all kinds of money. You think, well, if I just had this much money, I could do this, I could do that, and I would just be happy, I would be contented. You look at all these people that has all this money, what are they like? They're miserable. Most of them are divorced and remarried time after time after time. They have homes of all different types all over the world. They have their planes. They have all their things. But they don't have peace. They don't have contentment. You know, only the person that can give you that is the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Not that he's going to. He already hath done it. He already has blessed us and continues to bless us. Lord willing, this sermon is not going to be very long, so if you feel like you got to get up and got to go home before I'm finished, well, feel free to do so. But I'm going to stay here until the Lord finished, if I'm the last one out the door. But I don't think it's going to take very long, so I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. If you feel like you got to leave before then, well, you can feel free to get up and leave. Verse 4 through verse 7, I'm going to camp on those verses for a little bit. But it says, you know, here in verse 3, that God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the foundation of the world, he hath chosen us. Kind of like the Apostle Paul, who done the choosing? Where were you before the foundation of the world? It's kind of like brother was talking about this morning about the Almighty God. We don't even hardly get a touch of the brim, do we? on the outside edge. We cannot grasp the Almighty God. Brethren, we have so much to rejoice about, so much to shout about. And we as God's people sometimes set it like a bunch of paupers. And we're rich beyond measure. It's here in God's Word. God's given us His Word. God's blessed us in, oh, so many things. But yet sometimes we live as paupers. So that we should be holy and without blame. This without blame in the Greek means unblemished. I thought about that. In Him, in Christ Jesus, God the Father is going to see me as unblemished. I don't know about y'all, but that thrills my heart because I know, just I get a glimpse of how ungodly and wicked my heart is. But before my Heavenly Father, I will be seen as unblemished. Not in myself, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Because He paid that price unconditionally. Not for part of my sins, but for all of my sins. No, God's election or predestination does not operate or nullify man's responsibility to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You know, I had someone I loved dearly said, well, I didn't know whether I had a big E stamped in my forehead or not. Well, I got news for you. You don't have to know whether you're elect or not. All that labor come unto me, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 17. And from that day Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, we have a sovereign and a holy God that deals in our hearts. He changes our will. He changes our want to. But man is given a responsibility. You know, sometimes we talk about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. We want to put part of it over here and part of it here, and neither shall the twain meet. You know, that's why we look at it sometimes. The Lord works out like this. Now, you don't ask me to explain it all in a perfect sense. Now, Brother Dan back here, he might be able to tell you exactly how it works. Explain it to you in detail and just how all that just fits right there just like that, you know. But I can't do it. But it's in God's Word. Man has a responsibility to repent. Let's look at John 5:40. Fact 39 and 40 says, search the Scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. In the book of Revelations, it talks about man and how they'll want the rocks to fall upon them, but they still don't want the person of Jesus Christ. They worship themselves in their sin, and they love themselves in sin more than they love anything else. But God commands them to repent. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And at the times of ignorance, God winked at and now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands men to repent and to come unto Him. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I know a lot of people really have a lot of problem with this, but it's in God's Word. He having predestinated, determined beforehand, that's what predestination means. Determined beforehand, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Whose will? Your will? No, it says God's will. Do we have a responsibility as man? Yes. We have a responsibility to repent and come unto him. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved, not on my merit, but on the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, as I am in him. I praise God that I don't have to stand before him in my works and what I've done as far as for salvation. Because if I did, I would be cast into hell. That's what I deserve. We deserve hell. But we have an almighty God that paid a dear, dear price that we might have eternal life in him. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. No redemption. What's redemption? It's the paying of a price for something. It was through his blood, through the blood of the cross, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Not of our merit, not what we've done, not of works that we can do or ever do. No, we can fall before the Father and cry, Abba, Father. And what I'm about to say, I don't want you to misunderstand me. This word Abba is an endearing term. It's kind of like Father, Papa, Daddy. You know, it's a very endearing term that I can fall on my face and cry, Abba, Father. I didn't have a very good earthly daddy. He fathered me, but I can't say he was just a very good daddy. But you know, I have a heavenly Father that loves me. Now, I had an earthly father that corrected me. Always not in the right way, but he corrected me. But I have a heavenly Father that loves me and corrects me and draws me to himself. And I know I'm loved. I know I'm cared about. I know that regardless of what I've done, I can come and bow before him and he will pull me in and love me and care about me. Verse 8. Says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This word abounded, in exceedingly large amounts. Have you ever thought about that? He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. How do you learn about these things? How do you know about these things? Through his word. How do you know someone? You spend time with them. How much time do you spend knowing your heavenly Father? How are you going to get to know him? Through his word and through prayer. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Have you noticed all through here, it's not what man's done, it's what Christ is doing? Well, we're really good about one thing. We're really good about sinning. We're really good at that. But you know, and a lot of other things I don't know that we're much good for. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm talking about myself now. You may be different than that. But verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, talking about Christ, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we, having obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Can you explain that one to me? He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Scripture says he even created the wicked for the day of evil. I don't understand all of that. Maybe Brother Dan can. If he can, I want to sit down with him and let him explain all that to me. I don't understand how, except that God is sovereign and holy. He commands all men everywhere to repent. But you know, man says, some of them say, they will not come unto me. We've been obtained an inheritance. You know, part of that inheritance we have right now. Part of it is yet to come. You know, you hear our pastor preach about that. Some things are yet to come. Have you thought about all the things that you've already inherited from the Lord even now in this life? Peace and contentment, joy. You know, we even in grief, when we have hard times, you know, I think about Brother Paul. You know, I'd, as far as I was concerned, you know, I was going to have Brother Paul and Brother Keith preach my funeral. Well, my dear brother beat me home. Kind of aggravated me in some ways. You know, it's kind of like my grandma said when my grandpa died. She said, well, so I'm kind of jealous, you know, that he beat me home. I don't look forward to dying, but I look forward to being home with my Lord. I'm looking forward to a day that I don't have to put up with me anymore. You know, I don't have a problem with all y'all. I have a problem with me. I'm the one I have problems with. Now, my wife, she has problems with me too. And I'm sure she's going to say, oh, hallelujah. Lord, thank you for taking him home. But we have obtained part of our inheritance, but yet we have part of it yet to come. Verse 12, said that we, now we're talking about the redeemed, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is something, now think about this, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Notice God's glory is the supreme purpose of redemption. Have you thought about that? Our life ought to glorify our Savior. It said, in whom after you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also that after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad that God the Father sees me in his Son. And he doesn't see me in myself. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, that's one thing about when the Lord redeems you. You love the saints. You love to be around the brethren. If you don't like being in church, you don't like being around saints, there's something wrong with you. Bad wrong with you. And when I say that, because if you don't love the people in the church, you don't love the Lord either. Because that's what they're a reflection of. They're a reflection of the Lord Jesus. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Do you pray for your brethren? I hope somebody prays for me. I need it. No, I'm not a preacher. I'm a sorry old deacon. But I'm the one the Lord's given you, Brother Mark, Brother Kirk. We're the deacons the Lord's give you. Pray for us. We need it. We're not, I'm not going to talk about Brother Dan, But I can remember when all of us had dark hair, didn't have as many wrinkles, and were a whole lot younger. And we had little kids. Well, we still have little kids, but now they're grandkids and great-grandkids, you know. So the years have passed by, and we're not those little kids anymore. We're not the young people. And you young people will turn around before long and think, where did all the years go? You don't think so right now. Think that crazy old man don't have a lick of sense and don't have a clue what he's talking about. Well, I thought the same thing about my grandma and my great-grandma. You know, my great-grandma used to tell me things, and I thought, that crazy old woman. She used to tell me, she said, well, you know, my bones tell me it's going to do such and such and so and so. And I thought, you crazy old bat. Your bones don't tell you nothing. Well, you know, I've had to apologize. My great-grandma's been gone for a lot of years. But I've had to apologize to her over and over and over and over again because she knew exactly what she was talking about. Because now my bones tell me when the weather's changing, you know, different things. Because I get aches and I get pains that I don't normally have. Y'all laugh and you think, yeah, uh-huh, just wait. Your time's coming too. Lord let you live long enough, you'll find out. But anyway, verse 17, thank the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Just what Brother Dan preached on just a few minutes ago. Almighty God. Oh my goodness. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward, to you and I, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Do you have an empty spot today? Christ can fill it. I don't care whether you're a lost person or whether you're saved. The person of Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you peace and contentment and to fill your all in all and every need that you have. Only Christ can do that. Things can't do it. Money can't do it. If you think so, just look around. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to find it out. My goodness, just open your eyes and look around. These people that's got all this money and all these things are miserable. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be happy and have those things. That's not what I'm saying. God does bless a few people. Now, Brother Job, you know, ended up to be a rich man again. He was at one time and ended up to be that way again. But he was a man that God could trust with those riches. Be contented with whatever the Lord has blessed you with, whatever the Lord's given you, be contented with it. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord.